Ramsey TV.
Welcome, everybody. I got a heck of an end time report for you here today. Somebody sent me a video by someone who found an 1813 Bible. And in that 1813 Bible was a note, not a handwritten note, but a note that was printed in the Bible. You know how kind of like Dr. Bullinger had his notes, his appendices at the end of his companion Bible? It was kind of like that. And the printed notation in the appendix of this 1813 Bible had to do with the years that had transpired from Adam up to that time. And it's electrifying. It electrified me. So I'm going to share that with you. Also, I'm going to do something today that I should not do. But I'm only doing it in the interest of what the heck. And that is, if I was... I have to preface what I'm about to say with this. I have never given a date for the snatching away. Along that line, I'm going to read a question that I got from a viewer about me setting dates. Never once set a date. I've suggested a year, but not a date. But anyway, it's a good paper. I'm not mad. It's a good question. I'm not upset about it. But I'm going to read it, and I'm going to comment on it. And for those of you who are new, I'm going to explain the 6,000-year plan. This is God's 6,000-year plan. Why there are 6,000 years that the human race is given to work its will, relatively speaking, upon the earth, followed by a 1,000-year kingdom of God. Where does that come from? For the newcomers, I'm going to explain that. It's always good to review this. And then I'm going to do something very foolish. I'm going to pretend that somebody has put a gun to my head and said, give me a date for the snatching away. If I had to, I will give you a date for the snatching away. Not only a date, but I will give you a time. Yes, I will give you a date and time of when the snatching away could be. This is not a prediction. I'm not predicting it. I'm just having fun here. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we are supposed to look for the snatching away all the time. We're supposed to be constantly expectant of it. And it could happen anytime because we're not under any Israel timing things. God doesn't have to come for us, the body of Christ, at the Feast of Tabernacles or at a blood moon or a new moon. None of the Israel signs have anything to do with us. It could be at any time. And as you know, for years, I used to say that I expect a snatching away 5 minutes from now. But then I think it was 4 years ago, perhaps 5 years ago, I read in the unveiling, of course, that or maybe it was our Lord that said this. Yeah, probably Matthew 24, that unless the time were shortened, no one would survive. So I thought, Ephesians 4:1 says, become imitators of God. God shortened the time, so I'm going to shorten the time. So instead of saying, I expect the snatching away 5 minutes from now, I upgraded to 2.5 minutes from now. I shortened the time, wishing to become an imitator of God. Ephesians 4:1, Paul implores me to do that. So, loaded show. Loaded show today. What? Then I'm going to read Hebrews 4:9. In relation to the 6,000 years from Adam. And I never go to verse 10. Why? I looked at verse 10 and it's like really great. Where do I start? Let me start this way. The 6-1 ratio. The divine 6-1 ratio. He recreated, after the disruption of the world, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. And yet the Spirit of God vibrated upon the waters. And as the Spirit of God vibrates upon the waters, we see a recreation of the disrupted first earth. And God is working upon the second earth. And he brings land out of the water. He brings the vegetation. He brings the animal life. He brings Adam. And then, creme de la creme, he brings Eve out from Adam. And he does this in 6 days. These are literal days. I don't care who mocks me. I don't care how many of the intelligentsia in this world will scoff at that. There's a morning and the evening, the first day. Morning, evening, the second day. These were literal solar days. Is that too hard for God to do? He could have done it in 6 seconds, okay? He took his time and spent 6 days. And what did God do on the seventh day? Anybody remember? He rested? No, he didn't rest. God doesn't get tired. He has a great VO2 max capacity. His heart-lung capacity is great. And he has great muscle mass. And so 6 days of creation didn't wear him out at all. It's Sabbath, the Hebrew word. Sabbath, it means to stop. So God stopped on the seventh day. So that's why we have a week. People don't realize this. Why do we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? 7 days. People don't question it. Even the people who don't acknowledge Genesis and think God is crazy. They, hey, what are you doing on Wednesday? That comes from Genesis, moron. That comes from Genesis. Wednesday comes from Genesis. Because God worked for 6 days. And then he stopped on the seventh day. And the seventh day is not Sunday, it's the Sabbath. This is for Israel. It's the stopping. And Israel, as a nation, they were told to cease from their labors on Saturday, which was actually the seventh day. And Sunday begins the first day of the week. That's why everybody should be working on Sunday. Sundays were always creepy to me, and I finally realized why. Sunday's the first day of the week. You're only supposed to have 1 day off a week. If you have more than 1 day off a week, you start to feel weird, you start to feel lazy, you start to feel like you're screwing the pooch. It's because you're not supposed to take 2 days off, only one, the Sabbath. But for us, no, we don't observe the Sabbath. We're not Israelites. And even if we were, we would be a nation in waiting. Israel can't do the law. That's part of the law, to observe the Sabbath day. But Israel had a rest, a stopping day. So they just stopped everything. They spent time with their families. They put down their stupid cell phones. And they just had a nice meal the day before, called the Sabbath, and began on the evening of the seventh day or whatever. So, I don't know. It's all Israelite stuff. That's what I know. Went from evening to evening. Sundown to sundown was the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And there was also after seven sevens, which was 49, there was called a Jubilee year. And the Jubilee year was when any slaves were set free, property reverted to the original owners, the Jubilee year. Oh, but before that, there was the sabbatical year. That was every 7 years, the land was to lay fallow. They were not to till their crops. They weren't to do anything. They were to give the land a stopping. They were to stop farming. Just stop it. A whole year. Wouldn't that be great? Just to, every 7 years, you get a year off, basically. Man, that's all right. Every year. So we're way overdue. If we were following the law, we would be way overdue if people just work, especially in America. Work, United States of America. Work. Day and night. But God is wiser than that. And he says, 1 day a week, you're going to stop. He said this to the Jews. It's not a rule for us. But it's not a bad idea. And then he says, every 7 years, you're going to stop for a whole freaking year. And then every seven sevens of years, we're going to free everybody. Send everything reverts, whatever property you have, whatever land you sold, everything reverts to the owner. And slaves go free. It's a Jubilee year. Jubilee, great times. But all that's based on seven. So the week is based on seven. It goes back to Genesis, my friends. It goes back to Genesis. But there's a 6-1 ratio here. 6 days of work, 1 day of stopping. Now we have a very interesting passage in Hebrews 4, verse 8. For if Joshua causes them to stop, this is Paul's writing Hebrews, there's no doubt in my mind, Hebrews 4, 8. For if Joshua causes them to stop, he would not have spoken concerning another day after these things. Consequently, a Sabbatism is left for the people of God. A Sabbatism is left for the people of God. What is this Sabbatism? It's the 1,000 years. The kingdom of God on earth for Israel is said to be 1,000 years. You find this in Revelation. Those worthy to rule and reign for the 1,000 years. Israel will rule and reign for the 1,000 years. Specifically stated to be 1,000 years. So there remains a Sabbath stopping. A Sabbath. So the 1,000 years is called a Sabbath. So here's a new Sabbath. Paul is relating the day of stopping to a 1,000 years of stopping. Isn't this interesting? He's making a parallel. And I've never gone down to verse 10. I mean, I have in my private reading, but I've never said this publicly. I've never read this publicly, maybe. For, this is verse 10, Hebrews 4. For he who is entering into his stopping, he also stops from his works, even as God from his own. It's relating Genesis, even as God stops from his own work, even as God stops on the Sabbath. He's relating God stopping to this future stopping. Now, Paul couldn't be referring to the weekly stopping, the Sabbath day, Saturday, because they have been observing that for years. Couldn't be speaking of the sabbatical year where the crops lay fallow, because they've been doing that for hundreds, thousands of years. Can't be talking about the Jubilee year. There haven't been as many of those, but they were known. There remains, there is coming, there is yet to be fulfilled a Sabbatism for the people of God. What is that? It's the 1,000 years. So what do we see here? We see a 6-1 ratio. 6 days God created, God recreated, God peopled, God planted and animaled the earth, and the seventh day he stopped. Now, extrapolate that into 1,000-year increments. Well, that's illicit. How can you do that? Oh, ho, ho, ho. 2 Peter 3:8 says that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. I'm not even making that up. 2 Peter 3:8. So 2 Peter 3:8 gives us a clue that 1,000 years is as a day. A day is as 1,000 years. You know, he could have said anything. A day is as 50,922 years to the Lord. That would be also true. But he just happened to say a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. And Paul in Hebrews 4:10 makes a comparison, draws an analogy between God stopping from his works and Israel stopping from her works during a coming Sabbatism, which can only be the 1,000 years of peace, the fabled millennium. Therefore, with the 2 Peter 3:8 key in mind, can you not see how there would be 6,000 year periods, 1,000 year periods from Adam, from when God began his creating? 6,000 years of man, 1,000 year stopping. The 1,000 year stopping is the stated millennium, stated to be 1,000 years. And so wouldn't it be truth that if God is into the 6-1 ratio, which he is, and if his day, and if a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day, then what if there are 6,000 years given to humanity? What if there are 6,000 years given to humanity and 1,000 years given to God during the Aeonian times? That means that if we can know the number of years from the time of Adam to the coming of Christ, then we would know when Christ would come. But how can we possibly count the years? Because of the genealogies. In Genesis, the genealogies are listed. How many people, how many years people lived? And every time I read this in Genesis, I always thought to myself, who cares? And Adam lived so-and-so years, and he begat Cain, he begat Abel, and Abel begat him, and this guy begat Methuselah, and Methuselah lived to the time of Noah, and but listed all the years, and he lived 572 years, and then he died, and then this guy lived 462 years, and then he died, this guy lived 827 years, and then he died. Who cares, I thought, but there's a time bridge being built by God, And then come the kings of Israel. And this guy reigned for so-and-so. And this guy reigned, and there was, from the time of the flood to Abraham, was this. I covered this during the Revelation series. I have to talk fast a little bit. I don't want to get into the details, but there are people over the years who have calculated the years. Why would they do that? Because God has provided time, a time bridge with no years missing, so that we can, people who care, people who want to, count the years from Adam to Christ, and then from Christ till now, so that people will know, people who care will know, like, we're getting pretty damn close to 6,000 years. That means Christ is going to come soon. And if you take that 6,000 years from Adam, and again, all the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ have to do with elapsed time from Adam. I'm convinced of that. So if somebody like Hal Lindsey is predicting in 1980 that Christ is going to come in 1986, I'm sorry, unless you have 6,000 years elapsing, you're going to be wrong. On the other hand, a kindergartner, if the kid could add on a calculator, okay, maybe a third grader. If a third grader could add on a calculator, let's see, Methuselah to Noah, Noah to Abraham, Abraham to David, adds on the list, he could come up with the number of years. According to my calculations, 2030 would be exactly 6,000 years from Adam. So the kid could predict the coming of Christ with a freaking calculator, because it's all about elapsed time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, of course, there are some discrepancies. There always are. But we are freaking close, by anyone's calculations, to 6,000 years from Adam. Why is that exciting? Because if you take that time, the end of the 6,000 years, you have to subtract 7 years for the tribulation. And what's great about that is we must be snatched away before the tribulation, or at the very latest in the middle of it. Okay, I'll give you that. Possibly in the middle of it, because that's when the wrath of God really kicks in. Because the last 7 years is divided into 2 3-1/2 year periods. I made an entire series on the book of Revelation. It's only 800 shows. You should be able to get through it. If you binge watch, go to martinzender.com, scroll down a little bit, Zender on Revelation. 800 shows, yes. And they're top quality shows. I didn't cut any corners. Each show is 20, 25 minutes long. I mean, solid material. If you start binge watching now, hopefully you'll be done before the snatching away. I hope not, though. I hope not. So it's all about elapsed time. Now, I'm going to show you a short video that someone sent me. Someone found this notation, this appendix in a Bible from 1813, and it electrified me when I saw it, and I'm going to show that to you right now.
Bible from 1813 has something very interesting. It is a facts page that contains a list of people and events in chronological order. It says, whereupon we reckon that from Adam unto Christ are 3,947 years, 6 months and 10 days. And from the birth of Christ to this present year is 1814 years. Then the whole sum and number of years from the beginning of the world unto this present year is 5,788, 6 months, and the said odd 10 days. If true, in the year 1814 the world really was 5,788 years old. This year, 2022, the earth would be approximately 5,998 years old.
So there you go. In the year 1814, it was calculated by whoever. I didn't know what version of the Bible this was. There was no details given. Probably King James. It was some edition of the King James where somebody put appendices in there. But at that time, it was 5,788 years. And again, several people have done the math, and there are some discrepancies. Well, give and take a couple years, no big discrepancy. So if they, in 1814, they figured they were 5,788 years, remember, we're looking for 6,000 years, so that the 6 days of man can be followed by 1 day of God. 6,000 years of 6 days of God creating, 1 day of stopping, 6,000 years. And six is the number of man. Six is the number of man. 6,000 years of man's rule on the earth, followed by 1,000-year kingdom. When do we hit the 6,000-year mark from Adam? Well, if 1814 was year 5,788, then this year is year 5,998, which means there would be 2 years remaining to the coming of Christ. You say, oh, but Martin, you have to subtract 7 years. So if that's the case, if Christ comes in 2025, 24, 23, 22, 21, 29, then the tribulation would have started in 2018. Well, that's assuming these numbers are correct. But let me tell you this. Even if these numbers are off, it's in the ballpark. We're big time in the ballpark. We are in the ballpark. What if the 6,000 years, I never thought of this before until I saw this video. What if, and this is just a what if, please. What if the 6,000 years takes us to the beginning of the day of the Lord, which is the beginning of the tribulation? What if that marks the 6,000 years and Christ returns in 6,007 years? If the people that did the calculations in the 1814 Bible are correct, that would mean that we're even closer than we think. But remember, I'm telling you that I look for the snatching away every 2.5 minutes. Every day that the snatching away doesn't happen, I'm wrong 576 times a day, because 2.5 minutes goes by, 2.5. But it doesn't discourage me. I'm not discouraged at all. I look forward to it then 2.5 minutes from now. If 2.5 minutes go by, I go, ah, okay, well, that wasn't it. Looking forward to the next 2.5 minutes. We're supposed to love his advent, love his appearing. So, I thought that was exciting. So, there's that. Here's the letter I received. I have a question, Martin. I'll begin with some comments. In the past, you said we counted the 2,000 years, that is 2,000 years from Christ. Christ was born approximately 4,000 years. See, it's always approximate from Adam. And so, 2,000 years from Christ would be the 6,000 years. In the past, you said we counted the 2,000 years from 27 or 28 AD. Because the question is, when do we count the 2,000 years from Christ? Do we begin at his birth? Do we begin at his public ministry? Do we begin at his death? It doesn't really matter, because that doesn't influence the lapse time from Adam. It's just kind of nice to know. I originally said in 20 that I thought that the 6,000 years would elapse in 27 or 2028, because I measured the 2,000 years from Christ starting at his public ministry, which was in aught 27 or aught 28, which pointed to the snatching away 7 years before 2027 or 2028, which would have been 2021. In your broadcast of Tuesday, May 30th, you rather adamantly stated that the 2,000 years counts from 30 AD. When he was crucified, putting the date at 2030, that is the coming of the kingdom, which would be 2,000 years from Christ, 6,000 years elapsed from Adam, minus 7 years, which would put us at 2023, which means the tribulation would start this fall, which means we would be snatched away before that, I think, or at the worst in the middle of it. But I think, in my opinion, we have no business being here when the tribulation starts, because that starts God starting up with Israel again. And according to Romans 11:25, the fullness of the nations comes in before God picks up with Israel again. You rather adamantly stated that the 2,000 years counts from 30 AD when he was crucified, putting the date at 2030 minus 7 years, giving us 2023. What led to this change in the date setting? For one thing, it wasn't date setting. It was year suggesting. Never set a date. Never. What changed? What changed was the time came and went. That's what changed. The time for the beginning of the tribulation came and went. So obviously 2027, or obviously then we're not counting the 2,000 years from the beginning of the public ministry of Christ, or starting it then, the next possible event would be the death of Christ, which was 3.5 years later. That's what changed. What led to this change? Are there events? And here's the question. What led to this change in date setting? I've never set a date. Please don't say that. I've never set a date. Are there events or biblical evidence for what sounded like a date certain? I don't understand that question, but I never set a date. Also, why 7 years and not 3.5 years? That's a good question. Why 7 years and not 3.5 years as far as the tribulation goes? This gentleman is suggesting we could go into 3.5 years into the tribulation. I don't think so, but it's possible. I'm sorry to say, but it's possible. Sorry, it turns out that there was more than one question. That's okay. Personally, my wife and I hope for a 2023 date. No kidding. I hope for 2.5 minutes from now. However, besides, and there's no date. However, I'm concerned that date setting, if it doesn't occur, will be extremely disappointing to believers. Well, this is why I've never set a date, my friend. I've never set a date. This is why. Because it'll be extremely disappointing to believers. I've never set a date. And I don't know why it would be disappointing anyway. Because we know it's going to happen. God is not slack concerning his promises. It's going to happen. We're in the ballpark, so everybody chill. Look for it 2.5 minutes from now. Live your life, but expect to not finish the day. It's a beautiful thing. This gets me through the day. Am I crushed when the day ends and it doesn't happen? No. I look forward to getting up tomorrow, going on my run, making my show. If it happens, it happens. It'll be great. I can't wait. But we're to expect it every day. What's this disappointment business? Don't be disappointed because it could happen 2.5 minutes from now. Martin, you've been wrong another 4 times since the last time you were wrong. Yes, that's correct. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I'm totally refreshed every 2.5 minutes. I'm like, yes, it's the next 2.5 minutes. I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to this. I'm not an optimist. This is not a hope. I'm expecting Christ to return for his body very soon. In fact, if I haven't told you, I'm expecting it 2.5 minutes from now. And I'm not shattered if it doesn't happen 2.5 minutes from now. You've already experienced 27 minutes of me. So how many times have I been wrong now? 14 times since this show began. Have you seen me crushed? Have you seen me disappointed? Am I sitting here slugging back a bottle of Jack Daniels because I've been wrong 14 times and Christ hasn't returned? No! I have confidence in my God and in my Savior. And I'm not going to mock God or Christ by being disappointed in them because they missed my schedule. I don't have a schedule. I just know we're in the time. Even Jesus told his disciples, read the signs, know where you are. I've gone over this many times about why I think this is the time. And now we see this great quotation in this Bible from 1813. These people were thinking about it too. But think about it this way. Aren't you glad it's not 1814? You may say, but Martin, those poor people. They were only 5,788 years from Adam. They had 208 years to go. No, not true. Not true. Well, now we know that's true, but they didn't know it was true because in their minds, it was 2.5 minutes from then. Why? Because we could be snatched away at any time before the 6,000 years is completed. This is why even those in Paul's day expected the snatching away 2.5 minutes. Well, they may have been 5-minute people. I'm the one that updated it to 2.5 minutes. Nobody did that before me. Nobody. I'm a pioneer. But think about this. The snatching away could happen anytime before the elapsing of the 6,000 years. Nobody knew for sure. But one thing we do know is that it has to happen before the 6,000 years. But now that 208 years has elapsed from then, and it was somewhere between 5993 and 5999. We're somewhere between 5993 and 5999. Because of that, we know that the time is being compressed. So the time left for the snack shoy to occur is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And now we're realizing that we may be right up against the tribulation. See, they didn't know that in the first century. They didn't know that in 1814. They didn't know it was going to be right up against. It doesn't have to be. Again, I'll say again, it could have been any time before the elapsing of the 6,000 years from Adam. But the fact that we are now so freaking close to that 6,000 years, again, it just shortens the time. And now it absolutely has to happen before that 6,000 years elapses. And in my humble opinion, in my educated opinion, you have to subtract 7 years from that. Because I don't think, as I said, I don't think we have any business being here when the tribulation starts. Oh yeah.
They were talking about the same thing we're talking about. It's a good thing. It helps you get through the day to think you won't have to get through the day.
I look forward to your answers to my questions and concerns. Well, nobody should be disappointed. Don't insult God by being disappointed if what we think is going to happen, we think it's going to happen, doesn't happen. Along that line, I'm just going to play with you now, okay? I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. If somebody said, you have to set a date, I would say, no, I'm not going to set a date, but I'm going to play a joke on you. I'm going to have fun. This is what I'm about to say is not setting a date. What I'm about to say is in fun, it's frivolous, and please, the only reason I'm saying this, because I trust you that you're not going to go around saying Martin Zender says he knows the time of the snatching away. Okay. In jest, I say that the snatching away will occur on January 20th, 2025, at noon. January 20th, 2025, at noon. How can you say that at noon? How do you know? How do you dare even in jest suggest it? You know. The time of the statue and the date? You freaking date setter. I'm not setting that date. I'm not telling you that the statue is going to happen then. I'm telling you it's going to happen 2.5 minutes from now. It's just a fun thing that I'm telling you now. Do I have a verse for this? Of course I do. I have a verse for it. And this is the verse. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 51. Lo, a secret to you am I telling. We all indeed shall not be put to repose, yet we all shall be changed in an instant, in the tossing of an eye, at the last trump. Is that God winking at us?